We are more than halfway through the 7 days of creation in the first chapter of Genesis. We have been tracking the way God created the earth in this story because it's the same way we create in our lives. And finally today we will get to human beings and rest. So remember those song lyrics when we get to that part. So far we've had light. Let there be light. And then the firmament. Remember, the ancient people saw the earth as flat earth with a dome of sky over it, the firmament, separating waters below from waters above. It was their bubble of safety. And then dry land with flowers and fruit and trees. And then the sun and the moon were hung in the sky. If you need a reminder that this story is not a literal account of creation, just notice that plants were created before the sun. It was never intended to be a literal story. Every civilization has its creation myth, a story about how the earth formed and where we came from. Connecting Genesis to our own creation process came from Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder. Unity is based on the belief that we are all divine, as Jesus was, and that's what Jesus was telling us. Now, that belief has been around since the time of Jesus. It was stamped out as heresy for a long time, and it's still a minority view, but it's always been one of the major interpretations of Jesus' teachings, that he was not the only begotten Son of God. We all are expressions of God. And as Jesus said, we can do anything he could do. Jesus also said, "The Father in me does the work." That means we are co-creating with God. And Charles Fillmore saw us using the same seven steps to create that are in the first chapter of Genesis. In his view, those seven steps occurred entirely in the mind of God. They represent ideas coming from infinite intelligence, nothing in physical form yet. In Hebrew, the word create is more like ideate. To form an idea. God formed ideas for the earth. He created that which produced the earth. Fillmore saw two creation stories chronologically. Ideas in infinite mind first, and then physical form, the second chapter of Genesis, where Adam is created from the dust and Eve is taken from his rib. We know now that second story was written hundreds of years before the first. In the second story, God walks around in the garden with Adam and Eve. In the first chapter, God is transcendent energy moving over the face of the deep. Infinite intelligence, creating ideas for the earth that later came into physical form, maybe through a process of evolution. Mind, or God hyphen mind, idea, and then expression. And our creativity works the same way. We have a mind, we get an idea, we express it. Maybe it takes physical form, or maybe it is an expression like love. Mind, idea, expression. The reason this is important to know is because mind, idea, expression is Unity's Trinity. If anyone asks you whether Unity believes in the Trinity, the short answer is yes. We don't really believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the traditional sense, although we do believe in those three things. Father is God, ground of being, all that is. Son is the Christ, which is the divine within us. Jesus was an expression of the Christ, and so are you. The Christ is a prototype. It's the perfect idea of humans. We are the Christ in physical form. And the Holy Spirit is the creative activity of God on the earth. So the Father, through creative activity, brings forth the Son, or humankind. Mind, idea, expression is our Trinity. Okay, so that's cerebral Charles Fillmore writing 100 years ago. How does this help you get through the coming week? Well, consider that you are an idea in the mind of God. You are based on the prototype of the Christ, which is divine energy taking physical form in human bodies. And the body is amazing. I have to remember not to minimize it. I'm finally reading My Stroke of Insight, a book that's been out for years by Jill Bolte Taylor, who was a neuroanatomist, a brain scientist, who had a massive stroke at 37. And she was conscious enough to watch as it progressed through the chambers of her brain and shut down the control centers, her movement, her speech. It was on the left side. And when she was left with nothing but the right side, she said there was peace and wordless oneness. And she was kind of reluctant to regain her faculties. But she did. It took 8 years. You can go to YouTube and watch her talk about this. Look for Taylor Stroke, like Taylor Swift, but Taylor Stroke. It's a TED Talk with over 2 million views. So our brain is amazing, and our mind is even more so. The mind includes the divine connection, intuition, oneness with. In mind, or consciousness, we hold ideas or beliefs, and the creative power of thought brings them into expression. Thoughts show up on day 5 of creation. And God said, Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the 5th day. Living creatures, fish and birds, are thoughts, swarming. The proliferation of thoughts and ideas, like last week's plants flowering on the earth. Ideas attract more similar thoughts, swarms of thoughts. Swarming can feel like confusion. You imagined this great idea, dry land, but now you're overwhelmed with all of these swarming thoughts for a while. But swarms can become tightly organized. Flocks of birds, schools of fish moving as one body. What is the intelligence directing them? Infinite intelligence, or God mind, is the highest frequency of energy. And step 5 in creation is about aligning ourselves with divine mind. We have access to the same intelligence that guides the fish and birds across the ocean and the sky. Our faith is in knowing the chaos of thoughts can form themselves into an organized creation. Organized thought can be seen in groups that become tight-knit and move together like a flock. A group develops a cumulative consciousness to which each person gives and receives. That's why prayer and meditation in a group is so powerful. In the military, it's unit cohesion. In sports, it's team spirit. Let there be swarms is not asking God for help. It's opening to the divine help already available. Letting thoughts and ideas sort themselves out. Organizing in a formation like a flock of birds. This is Eric Butterworth's book called The Creative Life, where I have gotten most of this series. And he based this book on the work of Fillmore. Butterworth says the mind of the infinite does not do things halfway. It is not possible that a plan will unfold in your mind without there being the knowledge of how it can be completed, the will and persistence to go forward with it, and supportive thoughts with which to work toward the end result. Do you believe that? That when you have an idea, you already have everything you need to carry it out? I think it's the law of polarity that we talked about last week. Everything has an opposite, so for every problem, there is already an answer. But how do you know which ideas are the good ones? Day five is the power of judgment. Each day represents one of the 12 powers of humankind that are on these quilts around the room. They are the divine attributes in us. So first we had light or wisdom, and then faith, the firmament. Dry land represented imagination. The sun and the moon were understanding and will. Day five is judgment or discernment, good judgment, spiritual judgment. We use spiritual judgment to see all things through the eyes of the Christ within. And when we do that, we see it is all good. Day six is love, the harmonizing and healing power of love. A lot happened on day six. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. There's more in day six, but let's start with that. Here we are at last, humans, or at least the idea of humans. Humans were made the same day as all the other mammals. We're just slightly different. Humans share 99.4% of DNA with chimpanzees, which doesn't mean we're descended from them, but we are close relatives. And why not? We were made the same day. Humans are 99.9% identical to each other. All the diversity we think we have and fight about is just a fraction of our DNA, which helps me with the idea that we are all one. Notice that God said, "Let us make humankind." Plural gods? Maybe a council of gods? Some Bible scholars believe this was leftover language from the goddess era, when there were multiple gods, and that was not that far in the past. Make humankind in our image, male and female. That means the divine is a balance of masculine and feminine, a balance of thought and feeling. And so then God talks about how humans will interact with the rest of creation. He talks to us and about us. God blessed them, these humans, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. This is God the vegetarian. "To everything with the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." He had already made some wild animals that are serious carnivores. It's a story. "Subdue the earth, have dominion over the animals." That's a little upsetting to us now, but it's exactly what has happened. And of course, these stories were told in retrospect. A few strands of DNA allowed us to take dominion. We have thumbs, we made tools, we have language, and we have self-awareness, which is a mixed blessing. The sixth day and the third chapter of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, both portray humans separate from the rest of nature. To me, that means by the time these stories were told and written, humans already had lost a sense of oneness with the earth and with God, and they knew it. That was the fall, a feeling of separation from God, a split between our human and divine natures. We have considered the human side to be lesser. We've blamed it for our difficulties. We've used different names for it: the devil, ego, sinner. But we need the human side of us, the body, the personality, and God needs us too, to carry out creation. A human in union with God's image and likeness is I am, the Christ. God creates the ideas, we carry them out in the physical realm. God has no hands and feet but ours. God is purely spiritual, we are spiritual and physical. Jesus discovered the divine dimension in himself, the Christ. It's why he appeared to be a God. But he said he was just one of us, the Son of Man. Your divine potential is not something you might achieve someday. It is a reality before you discover it. It's the part of you that is always whole, even if the surface is sick or lonely. Your divinity is not something to be achieved or something that can be lost. You are the full power of spirit now. Throughout history, a few people have become aware of this inner divinity. Meister Eckhart, the German mystic in the 13th century, said, "It is a joy to God to have poured out the divine nature and being completely into us who are divine images." Of course, Meister Eckhart was tried for heresy. Eric Butterworth says, "Creation is present in its entirety within each of us." And if we don't get that, we end up believing that Jesus was the only divine son and we need him to be an intermediary when we go and ask God for mercy or handouts. But Jesus said, "Find the Christ in you as I have. Consciously get into the flow of the divine. Establish yourself in oneness and then allow creativity to express." The first chapter of Genesis is the story of who you are, how you came to be, and how you participate in the ongoing creation of the universe, and how you create in your own life. There's one more thing to do. Day 7. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Sounds as if God was just exhausted from all that work. But remember, this has all been in consciousness so far. It's ideas in infinite mind. Resting is the last step in the creative process. Resting means letting it go. When we create, we focus and then release. We ask and then allow. It's not having an idea and then clinging to it and lamenting that it's not here yet. Discover the power of let. Let there be. Meister Eckhart said, "There where clinging to things ends is where God begins to be." The word Sabbath means rest. And while building rest into our lives is healthy, Sabbath has not been always used that way. Hebrews imposed the death penalty for breaking Sabbath laws. It's only been in my lifetime that you could shop on Sundays. You were supposed to be in church, damn it. And you were condemned if you were not there. I think over the centuries, having a formal Sabbath may have set apart our spiritual life, confined it to a particular building on a particular day, which is why so many people are now insisting they're spiritual but not religious. We can create our own Sabbath anywhere, anytime. It's not loyalty to a building or a time and day or to a ritual, but to spiritual development within, communion with spirit or higher self, aligning in oneness. To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is to refresh and renew our awareness of the divine connection. It is to rest in the assurance that whatever we're creating and whatever we need is already here. You are divine, created in God's image. The kingdom of heaven is within you, already complete. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we just become comfortable. You may want to close your eyes. You may want to breathe deeply. Go within to your heart space from which all creation comes. And know that this is the home of your deepest desires. So you might want to focus on an idea that you're working on, something you want to create in your life, maybe a thing or a place or a feeling. Accept that spiritual dominion is yours. Your thoughts are aiming God at what you focus on. They are aiming the power of the divine on your creation. And then move through the steps of creation. Let there be light, illumination, awareness of your own magnificence. Have faith that you are here as a co-creator with God. Dry land is imagination. Seeing beyond any perceived limits, knowing that anything is possible. The sun and the moon are your understanding of how this will work and the will to carry it out. Birds and fish are swarms of thought in alignment with the divine. Animals and humans are love in expression. And then rest. Let it go. You've done your part in creation. Let go and let God from here on. This ancient story gives us the steps to create in our lives today, these thousands of years later. It reminds us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are divine beings. And we are never separate from all that is. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.